Yeah, we still have a few people coming in, so that's good. I'm not sure whether this, how this is going to sit, so I'm going to put this down here. Lori, you're going to have to be real quiet today. You're going to have to be real good today. I'm going to have this here. Well, good morning. Glad to have everybody here today. Boy, you get spread out when you're spread out in the auditorium upstairs. It looks really empty, but when you're in a class like this, it looks really good. You know, it's great to have everybody together. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity again to come together and open up Your Word. We're thankful for the topics which we've been taking up. We're thankful, Father, for this season. As our brother Dave mentioned in prayer meeting, it just seems as though this time of year you can witness to people and they're more receptive to hearing. Creed. I thought that was very timely for, since I had already been asked to speak on the message here. So I said, okay, I'll take it, you know, raise my arm a little bit higher, you know. And sure enough, you know, I hear we have a creation time. So, and then last night I was out in Boston Hills up on Cole Road till about, well, this morning. And we were looking at the Orion Nebula. This guy's got a friend of mine, I'm not sure if he's a believer. I don't think he's a believer yet. But, he's part owner of a 30-inch reflecting telescope. Okay? So, I mean, we're talking the mirror, just the mirror is 30 inches. And it's about 8 feet long or 9 feet long. You can bring it out on huge steel wheels, you know, when you pull it out onto a concrete platform. And we were looking at the Orion Nebula like I've never seen the Orion Nebula before in my life. But that hasn't been created yet in this book, so I can't talk about that till next week. But you come back next week, and maybe we'll have some pictures of the Orion Nebula, okay? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament, that's a division, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. 3 days of creation after Genesis 1, after chapter Genesis 1, 1 and 1, 2. Three specific days of acts of creation. In the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth was what? Okay, what else? Without form. What else? It was dark. It says so. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But again, there's an and, okay. And the space in between Genesis 1, 1 and 1, 2 is where some people would put, and probably I sit in this category, some people would put a huge gulf of time in between Genesis 1, 1 and 1, 2, okay, where there was some kind of judgment over the earth, and the earth became without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And it's interesting when we get to heaven as to which of those views are going to be right. Whether it's all continuous between 1 and 2, from 1 to 2, or whether it's a division, okay? And we won't find out until we get to heaven. And I remember when I was in college, I went from Blaisdell Chapel after being here for all my life, basically. My mom brought me as a young kid, as soon as Irma invited Carl, and they started getting us to come. You've heard that story a couple times from Carl, but some of you. So I've been to Blaisdell Chapel just about all my life as far as ministry, and I went away to college. And of course, the one school I went to was a uniformitarian geology school, which taught evolution and catastrophism. Of course, catastrophism today is out, or was out up until about 10 years ago, Mount St. Helens, I think. And it was all evolution. And I spent the first 3 months of college going back and forth between trying to reconcile scriptures and evolution, and scriptures and uniformitarian geology. And finally, I decided I've got to do some schoolwork besides this, and I just said, if the Lord really wants me to know all this stuff, he's going to tell me someday anyway. So I stopped worrying about it, and stopped questioning one way or the other, because you can get into a lot of time, you can spend a lot of time doing that. But yes, right in here, as Uncle Dave pointed out, verse 2 starts with the word "and." So there's some point in time here where the earth is without form and void. And we always think of the earth as being a sphere. Well, I think it's probably talking about the shape of the earth here. I think it's still a sphere in this point. We're already a sphere in this point. But I think it's talking about the surface here. And void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When it talks about moved upon, it's kind of talking like a hovering or a fluttering. And as I was preparing for this, I was thinking of the passage of, instances when I used to ride back from Tonawanda. And every once in a while when I come back from Tonawanda along the small boat harbor, you're up on the elevated part of the Furman Boulevard. Those of you that work in the city, familiar with that. And you're coming along there in the elevated section from Furman Boulevard, from the small boat harbor back to the old Father Baker Bridge. And every once in a while by Stiff Farm, I'd see this sparrowhawk fluttering. And sparrowhawks, when they're looking for their game, they're up about maybe 75 feet or 80 feet, 100 feet up, and they just kind of flutter. Hawks can just kind of hang there, in the wind, and eagles. But sparrowhawks, peregrine falcons there, they're the same animal there. They kind of have to flutter real fast with their wings. And as I was preparing this message, I thought about that exact picture, and I've seen them down at Bayview and Route 5 too. And when you have a stiff breeze, 30-mile-an-hour winds, these falcons like to get out there, sparrowhawks like to get out there, and they like to kind of search the ground and see what they can nail, And they're fluttering, and their wings are constantly fluttering. And as I thought of that, when you go back to the Hebrew here, it gives the connotation of hovering or fluttering over the waters. Isn't it interesting? As Bill mentioned, it already talks about the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1:2. Already talks about the Holy Spirit being involved here in the early part of the earth. And then God said, "Let there be light." At some point in time, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, is that the sun? You can say no, that's right. No, it's not the sun. Okay, it's light, right? We don't know what that light was like. It seems to be from one source. Okay? Seems to be from one source. But there was light. I don't think it was an effusive light where everything is light. I was trying to find a slide. I was going to show slides today, but we didn't get the room dark and I don't have a screen. So we'll try to get that next week. I was trying to find a source of a slide that I had that would be light. And I kind of just decided to just leave that tray blank. And when the tray came that far away, when the thing went down, I just get white light. Because this is talking about light. It's not talking about the sun. It's not talking about the moon. It's not talking about the planets. It's talking about light. And I believe it's a light from one area, one source, because we still have day and night. We have evening, we have morning and evening, right? At the end of this little day here, however long this day is, 24 hours, it says the evening and the morning were the first day. So I don't think there's got to be some darkness here somewhere, okay? Let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And evening and the morning were the first day. So the first day, you had the earth starting out in darkness, and then you had light. And the earth also was what? Science people. If we had already had evening and the morning, the earth also was rotating, yes, okay, good, all right, good, wonderful. Oh, it's so rewarding when you have some thoughts there. Nice, so now, contrary to what they believed in the 1300s, that the sun didn't go around the earth to cause day and night. What's the proof of that? In Genesis. What do we have so far? We have light, we have darkness, we have the earth rotating. So we have the sun? So the sun can't go around the earth causing day and night, right? Yet they believed that for centuries, okay? So the Bible taught, apparently, through intuitively, that the earth rotated. Didn't say that, but day and night produced. So it must be something going on here. What does this tell us all about God? It tells us God is all-powerful. Anybody that can create light just by word of mouth is all-powerful, right? I mean, sure, some lady can lay in bed and she can clap her hands and the light comes on, but that's not the same thing, right? It's not a Chachia light clapper. You notice they're all done advertising that. They don't even advertise that anymore now because they've got all their orders for the whole year. They advertise for about 6 weeks, and that's their business for the whole year. Those two products, Chia and the light thing. And they've got, I forget how many thousands, 5,000 people, I think, in that company altogether. Counting the shipping and everything, there's thousands of people that work in that company, and they spend maybe 6 weeks of advertising, and that's their whole income for the year. Not bad. But God did. God said, let there be light. No clapping of the hands, no snapping of the fingers. We don't read. We'll read in other passages. I'll give you some verses next week where he just spoke it into existence. Isaiah, different passages in Isaiah and Jeremiah. He spoke, and the world came into being. Incredible. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. How do you create light? You know, when I was at Frontier as a student just a few decades ago, they taught us that light expresses itself in two ways. Okay, how many know what those two ways are? So from the science end of it. It can be understood as a wave or a particle. It can be understood as a wave or a particle. Boy, did the next turn on that one, Tom. That was good. Who's that? Light can be expressed as waves or as pulses, particles. And it works both ways. It's amazing. It can be explained both ways. So they can explain light, but they can't create light. Like God can create light. Let there be light. And the different different lengths of waves give us our different colors. Or once you get past red, longer wavelength than red, you get into infrared. My first experience with infrared was probably at Lakeview Smorgasbord, where they had the infrared lamps on that big roast beef thing that used to always turn, you know? And the Wolfleys and the Palmers used to go there and clean them out all the time. Well, never mind. But, you know, I mean, I remember the good old days, you know? We were just talking about that last week, some of us, and after church. And they're out of business, I guess, now. But anyway, you remember the old lights, maybe whether it's at McDonald's or someplace else, they have these orange lights, infrared lights. And you get past infrared light, then you get into longer and longer and weaker wavelengths. And the longer the wavelength is, the weaker it is. The shorter the wavelength, you get past violet, on the violet end of a rainbow, you get into ultraviolet, that causes skin cancer, right? I mean, I don't want to talk about skin cancer too much because Ray and Linda just got back, you know, but Ray just loves the beach, right? Ray? But, ultraviolet rays, okay? Then you get past that, you can get into gamma rays and all sorts of different types of light. God doesn't just give us visible light. Isn't it great that our senses cannot perceive everything? All wavelengths? Right now there's probably at least 100 radio stations going through the room. WDCX, but also WJYL, you know, and WKBW. And just think, I mean, we used to get WGR in church when we were sitting upstairs. I went to a conference one time at Hamburg High School, and we got an order for Reefler concrete. And we had a thing from the police station in Hamburg, town of Hamburg. Check out the car in such and such a street and check his registration out. I think it's a stolen car. You know, and I'm right in the middle of this guy speaking from California on education. It was very fitting because he was a terrible speaker. But his thesis was all off base, which was great. We were sitting there cracking up, you know, because we were forced to listen to this stuff. But every once in a while, you know, take a load of concrete here, take some stuff there. It was great. Those are wavelengths of light. Those are wavelengths of energy. And isn't it great that we can't perceive 100 radio stations right now? Or the 20 television stations that are going through the room right now. God gave us senses that were just fit for us. But that energy is going through the room right now. We can't perceive it because we only have translators that'll in our senses that'll translate it. We can perceive light and sound. That's enough. That's enough. We don't need radio waves or television waves or microwaves. from all the satellites beaming down to us right now. So he was all-knowing. He knows how he had to make his creation. He knows how he had to make the people he was going to create later. He's all-knowing. And he's all-present. He was there from the beginning. He was there from the beginning. We looked, those of us in the Lord's Supper, looked at a passage in Job 30, or in Proverbs 30 and verse 4. Who was he that was here? That can grasp the wind in his hand, that can hold the waters in a garment. Who was he? And what's his son's name, if you know? I love that verse. It was given to me yesterday by Bruce. And great verse. He was present from the beginning. We've already learned what we can learn about the earth. It was formless in verse 2 and empty. It was covered with water. Let's take a look just for a moment in Job 38. Just for a moment. Keep your finger here. Job 38. Great dialogue. God is, of course, it's cheating because he knows everything went on. He was there. But when he starts talking with Job, there's just some great dialogues at the end of Job. Job 38 and verse 34. 34? Let's see. Can you lift your voice up to the clouds that abundance of water may cover thee? Now, we read about the fact on day 3 that there was a lens of water above the atmosphere, which the first heavens is the atmosphere. Okay? When God was talking about the heavens there, that wasn't where he's at, that's the sky. And it was apparently this lens of water, or water vapor, or water droplets, one of the three, above our atmosphere. Don't know about that one as an earth science teacher. You know, I can't explain that one. That's something that's specific to the scriptures. Okay? But God says to Job, can you lift up your voice to the clouds? And that abundance of water may cover thee. Well, Hans Neuberger from Penn State would say, "Well, no, but I can drop carbon dioxide ice pellets in the clouds, and I can make it rain." God says here, "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds and make it rain, that the water will cover thee?" Well, no, but I can shoot up silver iodide from a rocket, and I can make it rain. Well, no, but can you lift up your voice to the clouds? You know, an all-powerful and all-knowing God. Talks also in Job about the balancing of the clouds. The balancing of the cloud. What makes a cloud rain? Why does a cloud seem to hover in the sky for hours? How does it stay there? The balancing of the clouds. And this water that was suspended off the earth, we'll read about that later on in the book of Genesis, but this water that was suspended off the earth, we don't know the physics of that. Don't see any examples of that in nature today. But that's what it says, didn't it? Okay, that's day one. Let's look at day 2. Got a little while yet. Day 2, verse 6. Any questions on day 1?
You're talking not about the universe, you're talking about the earth.
He doesn't say he created the universe yet.
That's, right.
That's verse 14.
The universe is way beyond the earth.
Okay. Yeah, we're talking about the earth.
Strictly the earth.
And maybe the first 50 miles up.
Yes.
The heavens.
People get that all mixed up and think they're talking about all that God has up.
Well, now that might be in verse 1. That might be in verse 1. You'd have to look at the Hebrew on that.
That's what I say.
Right? I mean, you have to look at the Hebrew on the word heaven in verse 1 and compare that to the word heaven in verse heaven later on in day 3. Okay, you have to look that up. But I guess you're catching me off guard now. Yeah. Tom. Dark. Well, in verse 2 anyway, it was dark. Well, he created the light first.
We're going beyond the earth.
He created the light first. You can separate the light from the dark with an object. You have a light over here. You have an object here. It's dark over here. That's why we call night, night. It's dark. We're in the shadow.
The physics of it, but I don't know. I mean, only God can do something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah. A lot of times at camp when I'm trying to show the kids the constellations, I've got a beam that'll shine a half a mile. Can't see it at all. You know? It's just clean air. Water down there for a while was so clean they didn't want us to use it because it didn't have any impurities in it. no minerals. You know, that's for real, you know. But same thing, you know. But now if you go off the Earth's atmosphere, go out of the Earth's atmosphere, the higher up you go with a rocket, the darker the sky gets until you get up out of the Earth's atmosphere and it's dark. So you have to have something to diffuse the light in order for us to perceive the light. Except for the light directly shining at us, like from a star. That's why I say this light seems to be different than the sun. Yeah.
Well, that's why, you know, I want to go back to verse 1, that it's the original creation. And when it's taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 6, where it says, the Father commanded the light to shine
out of
darkness. The light was already there in verse 1, but something became void and dark. That's why I strongly believe that. Hmm.
Made, right.
The only thing that's created after that is the label and the name. So therefore, when it says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, I can't believe for a moment that he would have created something that is void and empty because
contrary to what we see anywhere else in Scripture.
That's not God. Right. Because if you create something that is nothing.
Yes, Led. Psalm 104, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got that in my notes for next week. But yeah, Psalm 104, what? 30. Yeah, I was reading through that this week too. I should remember that. But yeah, I kind of hold with the gap theory between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. That the main creation was Genesis 1:1, and that this was kind of like a restoration of the earth. Yeah. But there's not too many instances of that. Like that one verse that Lad just gave. That's an excellent verse that leans towards that. Yeah. So. The most creationists that you hear about, though, creation science research, they don't believe that. They believe that there's no difference, no time lapse between 1:1 and 1:2, and that it was a 24-hour period day, 24-hour period days, and everything was created 10,000 years ago. Created, died. No, Dwayne Gish, those guys, they'll teach you straight out that it was no gap theory. And that's exactly where Creation Science Research Institute in California gets their position, because that's exactly their position. That he created it, and this is how he created it. Okay. If you connect the passage that Brother Ladd just brought in, it talks about remake. You know, then it's talking. Then it gives a little bit more support towards the gap theory between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. You know, so it's something. Like I said in the beginning when I first started my message, it's something we're going to find out someday if God deems it important. You know. And it's nothing to divide us, okay? These kind of things should be nothing to divide us. That's one of the things you really have to consider when you get into analytical Bible study and exegesis of scriptures. It's not there to divide us, okay? And we got to be careful in that. Day two, though, there was something divided. Oh, boy, a little segue there. Yes, I'm sorry. Okay. Day two. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament, divided the waters, and there we go, Tom, there's the suspension of water, right? We divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, or division, or space, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven, That's what we refer to as the first heaven, our atmosphere. And the evening and the morning were the second day. So he created a sphere, like an onion skin. If you can think of onion skins, layers in an onion, okay, which my wife doesn't want me to eat at Burger King. But if you can figure a sphere or a ring, it'd actually be like a bubble, like the surface of a bubble, and around an object in the middle. Maybe there's an orange in the middle, and then there's a bigger bubble containing the orange, okay, the orange being the earth, and the space in between the surface of the orange and the bubble being the firmament. Okay? And that's what it's kind of describing here. Now, what do you suppose he could use all that water for? If it's suspended maybe 10, 20 miles up, 50 miles up in the air. Perhaps.
Perpetual motion.
No, this is either solid, liquid, or gas. Yeah. In when? Noah's day. For what? For the flood. Okay. We had the fountains of the deep broken up, but it also talks about rain falling from heaven for a considerable period of time, longer than what most people would like it to rain for, right? Yeah. You mean Monday morning quarterbacking?
Maybe one of the reasons why people live so long.
Yeah. You'll notice that after about 500 years after the flood, people only lived around 100 years. There was a few people that lived a couple hundred years, but once you get past the third or fourth generation past the flood, you don't read of anybody being over 120 years, I don't think. Abraham was how many generations away? Yeah, Sarah was 200, Abraham was in his hundreds, okay? But once you get past the period of Abraham, let's say then, okay, you don't read of too many people living like 600 years and begetting 35 people. You know, you don't hear that anymore. Okay, that's pre-flood, mostly all pre-flood. Methuselah, he shall not die till it comes. And the year he died, it came, the flood came.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking a max here of 500 years, and then. People didn't live for that long a period of time. Yes?
Up in their library, we have a tape the year before last up in Guelph. They went into real depth on that part of the Bible.
I know. It's firmament. Mm-hmm. Water above.
People in evolution.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's our own library. All right. Yes, Ryan. Yeah. Because
it, if he wanted to create all of this in 5 hours, God could do it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay, so where does the gap theory come in?
Well, because it doesn't say he did it in 24 hours.
Okay, so
it doesn't say specifically.
In other words, if I want to believe that God did this in just so many days, and not 10,000 years, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because the reason why I say this, and one of the problems I have is, mm-hmm. is that geologists and everything, they come up with this astronomical numbers on dating, time dating,
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at this and we read this word, you get this in a, as far as the way I see it, in a very short period of time.
And that could be. See? That's what I'm saying. That could be. That's why I say, I'm going to find out someday if God thinks it's worth the discussion when I get there. But I'm not an active nail him in the head proponent for either position.
The fact is, if they say, I'm just taking a number, I don't know how many things, but 10,000 years ago, but God can make a diamond in 2 seconds.
If he chooses, yeah. Chris, and then. And some people say, well, sin first entered the world by Adam, so how can there have been sin before that God would have to judge? See, that opens up another 20 minutes discussion. Kim, yeah. Yeah. Well, just the fact that it says evening and the morning were the first day. Okay? Could well be. All I'm saying is that in my spirit, okay, in terms of how I read, that thing is, I'm a geologist, okay? I'm a glacial geologist. I can take you to Gowanda. I just took a group of people from Tiff Farm for a whole 4 hours, and we went all down through East Aurora, Eden, and Gowanda, and North Collins, and I took them on a... I can show you glacial beaches. I can show you glacial deposits from the Ice Age. And I don't see flood deposits on top of the Ice Age. Were the glaciers afterwards? Were the glaciers before? In my daughter's house, there's rocks from the Canadian Shield. You go two valleys over to Camp Lailola, there's not an igneous or metamorphic rock in the valley, except what was carted in. There's road fill. So you go down to Allegheny State Park, they haven't been covered by glaciers yet. You go 2 miles, 3 miles north of Little Valley, and there's glacial deposits all over the place. Yet you can go down to St. Louis, you can go down to Long Island. See, so to me, I see that this isn't something to get into a very narrow division of, like the creation scientists from California do, because God didn't specifically say, okay? What does he mean by a day? I don't know. Does he mean 24 hours, perhaps? Does he mean a space of time? I don't know. But I do know that the order was day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. Okay. Yeah.
The morning and the night.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that. Yeah. Yeah. And yet he didn't create the sun yet. So in terms, was it our days? Or was it the length of day and the length of night that he had then? Yeah. So, we're running out of time. I still got to get to day three. Didn't get to my lesson
yet.
Going
back to Ron, God in that first verse could have created it all within a minute or less. If he wanted to, he just
right.
Didn't work, right? But, again, when I take the theory, when Jim said we're limited on verses, and I like that verse that Mr. Christopher Thorne gave, in Psalms 104, but listen to this verse from Isaiah chapter 14. It's speaking about Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which just weakens the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Okay. He's already talking about the stars, and the stars don't even appear until we get over into later on in the week. Okay? When he made the stars. But the stars were there. Okay? Even here when he wanted to exalt the throne, I will sit also, he says, Lucifer is saying, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the signs of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. So there was all these things, in my opinion, before, but that's my opinion, that from those kind of verses, okay, in the original creation. And that's why those kind of verses make me believe that this is restoration.
Now this is not just for having in the room. See, this was part of my lesson for today, but this is going to die by next week. So on day three, he created flowers and trees. Okay, and I want to get to that before the next 30 seconds. On day three, he created flowers and trees, and you can remember that as you go home this week. These flowers reproduce themselves. Okay, they grow by seed or they grow by roots. Pine trees grow by pine cones. I had my grandsons pick up some pine cones yesterday. And in day three, which we'll get to a little bit, see, pine cones from Bruce and Shelley's farm. We have also, well, that's not from Bruce and Shelley's farm. Grapefruit. We have a little farther south, maybe, we have bananas. I love it when they're spotted. Not so much blotches, but spots. And the other ones I had in here were some chestnuts. Well, you can get those roasting by an open fire someplace this Christmas season. But you're familiar with the third day. Third day he created plants. He created grasses. He created herbs. I love going down to Bruce and Shelley's in the summer because they've got peppermint all through the creek. And you go down there and pick peppermint and chew it, and get the peppermint. You can dry it in the microwave and make tea out of it. Peppermint. Be thinking this week about the stuff in day three and four and why God created. Okay? Yes, God created. God made. Why did he do this? See if we can find some verses on why be creative as well. Oh, we're out of time, Fred. I'd really like, they'll yell at me if I go over too much. But why did he create? Be looking at that this coming week for day three as to why did God create. Okay? I have to take Fred's first, though. Oh, go ahead. Then I'll get you first.
We got to remember that the scriptures here, there are only about 38 chapters or so in Genesis talk about the 4,000 years of man. That's all. Mm-hmm. About 38 chapters in Genesis. And God has given us a description of the beginning and the beginning of man. And when they come up with this over the past 6,000 years about man, it's a lot of baloney. Because man was created approximately 6,000 years from now.
We also have to remember it's not a science book.
No.
It's right in what it says about science.
Right.
But it's not a science book.
That's right.
Right?
That's
so that's the other thing you have to look at.
Yeah, but that's why I say it's only the 38 chapters talk about just what your appetite about the first 4,000 years.
Right.
And you've got to remember that.
Okay, Fred, quickly. Well, once you get down to the sun and being created, yeah. Once you get into that point where it starts talking about the sun, yeah, that's right. Okay. I wonder if your brother Goodyear, Charlie Goodyear, would you lead us in prayer, please, to close our class?